Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
My mom is absolutely incredible.
I definitely would not be who I am or where I'm at today if it wasn't for her.
I'm thankful for her and that I love her more than I can express.
Just everything that she's done for me is so much a part of who I am today.
Call her on the phone?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I could do that.
I would definitely do that.
I'm going to cry so hard. I am just really happy that you're a part of my life and that you've been a huge mentor of mine.
Yeah, we couldn't have done it if it weren't for you being willing to sacrifice.
I just want you to know how much I love you. I never realized how much you did and how much you juggled until I had kids of my own.
I love you a lot, and that I appreciate everything you've done for me in life.
Thank you, just for everything.
Be sure you call your mom if you're not present with her, able to be present with her today. And when I think of the term unsung hero, it refers to someone who does great deeds, but they receive little or no recognition for them. And I really think that mom is synonymous with unsung hero. It starts from the beginning, late night feedings and changing dirty diapers. Who says thank you for that? Right? Blowing runny noses, staying up with sick kids, kissing a boo-boo and putting a Band-Aid on it, planning birthday parties, making special cakes, being a tutor in every subject conceivable. In other words, doing homework, helping with homework. Being the chauffeur for sporting events, piano lessons, karate lessons, swimming lessons, dance lessons, any kind of lessons. Shopping for food, putting away food, getting out the food, cooking the food, setting the food on the table, then cleaning up the food and the dishes to follow, doing laundry, paying bills. Those are just the tasks that you see, but a lot of times the unseen tasks are prayer warrior, being a mentor, a chief cheerleader, a discipler, being a listening ear, a shoulder to cry on, and a rock in a time of a storm. All these things describe a mom, and many times mom receives little or no fanfare, applause, or recognition for doing that. But this morning, I would like to give all of our unsung heroes, all of our moms in the house, would you please stand this morning, and can we show our appreciation to them? Go ahead, moms, stand up today. You are unsung. We're not going to sing to you, all right? We won't do that here. Your family can do that at home. But be sure, and not only just for moms, but all ladies, there is a gift for all of our ladies to pick up right after service. And please do that. We appreciate you very, very much. Want to wish you all a very happy Mother's Day. It's great having you with us. We also want to welcome those who are joining us online this morning. We're so glad that you're part of our service today. Today I'm going to talk about unsung heroes in reference to moms, and really probably one of the greatest unsung hero moms in the Bible. You've probably never heard a Mother's Day message about her. In fact, you've never even heard of this lady that we're going to be talking about. Her name is Abijah. Has anyone ever heard of Abijah? A few of you have. Now, who is Abijah? Now, tech team, I know you're seeing my sermon notes. You can't answer this, okay? Who is Abijah? Does anyone know who Abijah is? It's Hezekiah's mom. Yes, it's in your sermon notes, so those who are looking ahead. Yeah, you know, she is Hezekiah's mother. It's interesting. When you look at 2 Chronicles 29, verse 1, it says, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. In 2 Kings 18:2, her name is shortened and she's just called Abby. It says his mother's name was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. Her name, Abijah, means my father is the Lord. And if there was ever a lady who ever needed God to be her father, it was Queen Abby, because her husband, King Ahaz, was quite the character. This morning for Mother's Day, we're going to do something that's a little unusual, okay? We're going to look at four chapters and skim over four chapters. 2 Chronicles, you can turn to it, chapter 28, 29, 30, and 31. We're going to skim over it, and as we do, we're going to look at the lives of two men, okay? Not the lives of ladies. I know you might think, this is Mother's Day, why two guys? Well, bear with me. I think you'll see where we're going by the time that we finish. And as we talk about this, I want you to remember the saying. How many have ever heard the saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? Pretty familiar. And what that basically means is that children tend to pick up the traits of their parents. Keep that in mind as we think of King Hezekiah. Now, King Hezekiah was a godly king, but when you look at his father, King Ahaz, he was, to say he was wicked would really be an understatement. We're going to pick up reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 1, and we're going to show a lot of these verses on the screen, and I'm not going to read all of them. Some of them that I will, some of them I'm going to paraphrase, but we see right out of the gate that Ahaz does not do what's right in God's sight. He completely rejects the Lord, and not only does he worship idols, but he himself creates idols for the entire nation to worship. So he's not just an idol worshiper, he's an idol maker. When you go to verse 3, it says, he burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire. He practiced infant sacrifice. He burned his own sons. Can you imagine doing that to your own children, living children, throwing them into a furnace as a sacrifice to the God? But that was King Ahaz. In verse 4, it says, he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Now, what's interesting, write down on your notes this morning, Hosea 4, verse 13 and 14. Hosea 4, verse 13 and 14. And when you read that, you discover it was a very common practice to have ritual prostitutes at these altars that were at the high places and under every green tree. And what would happen is, as men would bring their sacrifices to worship, they would also engage in sex with these ritual prostitutes as an act of worship. And a lot of times it was a very disgusting practice. And Ahaz was a very adulterous man. That's who Queen Abby was married to. But it gets worse. When you look at verse 5 and 6, it tells us that he is a lousy leader. In one battle that he fought with the king of Syria, he loses, and not only does he lose, but there are 120,000 of his soldiers that they perished. Or excuse me, they were taken into captivity, and a battle with the king of Israel, 120,000 soldiers die. When you look at verse 7, the children of Israel, they carried away 200,000. As this battle took place, not only 120,000 men soldiers die, but they took 200,000 women and children captive. And you realize at this point in time, Judah is the southern kingdom. There's only two of the tribes of Israel that are with them. 10 tribes are in the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom of Israel beats Judah, killing 120,000, and they take 200,000. If it wasn't for God's prophet Oded, who comes to the king of Israel and he says, this is not right that you're taking your brothers, these other two tribes, you're taking them as slaves. You need to return them. If it wasn't for him, they would have stayed, but they were able to go back to Judah. And so Ahaz is morally, he's a reprobate, he's a lousy leader. In verse 19, it says, the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. He instigates sin and crime among everyone in the nation. He is a horrible influence, a really poor leader. In verse 22, it says, in the time of distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. Now, there are some people, when things are going bad, it's kind of like they're hit over the head with a spiritual 2x4 and they come to their senses and they realize, I need to change my ways. Has God ever done that for you? You've gone through a hard time and you come to your senses? Well, you know what? Ahaz was kind of dense. He wasn't the brightest light bulb in the socket, okay? When he is going through all of these problems, seeing all these things happen, instead of him turning to God, he's even more unfaithful to the Lord, pursues more immoral decadence. It is just unreal the kind of leader that he was. When you continue to look at his life, in verse 24, not only is he worshiping false gods, but now he tries to get rid of Christianity in the entire nation. It says, Ahaz gathers the articles of the house of God. He cut in pieces the articles of the house of God. He's destroying everything that has to do with their faith. He shuts up the doors of the house of the Lord and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. So he shuts down the temple in Jerusalem so you can't worship, but then he sets up idols, altars all over Jerusalem. So when you come to Jerusalem to worship, this is now where you worship, is all these pagan shrines. At the end of his life, in verse 27, it says, Ahaz rested with his fathers. They buried him in the city in Jerusalem, but they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. Then Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his place. So when Ahaz has died, he's given no respect with royalty. He's not allowed to be buried in the royal cemetery. He's just put somewhere else in the city. That is the man that was Hezekiah's father. That was the man who was Queen Abby's husband. Now, keep Ahaz in mind as we now look at what the Bible says about King Hezekiah, all right? In verse 2 of chapter 29, and this is going to be, this verse kind of encapsulates Hezekiah's whole life. It says, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Now, when you think of King David, what do you think of? He's a man after God's own heart. And it says that Hezekiah was like David. He was a man after God's own heart. When you take a look at verse 3 of chapter 29, it says, the very next verse, it says, in the first year of his reign, in the first month. So this means this is the very first act King Hezekiah does. He's enthroned, he's put into office, and what does he do? First year, first month, this is what he sets out to do. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and said to them, hear me, Levites, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord God, your fathers. Carry out the rubbish from the holy place, for our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They've forsaken him. They've turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and turned their backs on him. He cleanses the temple. He restores the temple so that Israel begins to worship God again. And a few verses later it says, he set a covenant with God. He is in the process of righting all the wrongs that his father had committed. The direction that King Ahaz was going, King Hezekiah does an about-face 180 degrees and says, where we were rejecting God and going after idols, now we're rejecting the idols, and we are going after the Lord. We come to verse 1 of chapter 30, and we see that Hezekiah, he restores the Passover after he gets the temple together so that now they can have sacrifices. Now they can do the Passover, and so he restores the Passover. It says, Hezekiah sent to all, notice this, Israel and Judah. You see, he is the leader of the southern kingdom of Judah, but he has such a heart for God's people. He says, when we were attacked by the Israelites and my dad, and they took 200,000 captive and killed 120, I'm not going to hold that against them. I'm not going to take revenge against them. I want them. They're God's people also. They need to know the Lord. And so he sends a letter not just to his people, but to the 10 tribes who had turned away from God. He wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh personally. Those were the two main, most powerful tribes. He sends a special letter to them because he knows if I can get those two tribes to come, then a lot of the others will probably follow. And they were, those two tribes, they always kind of had a pride thing. In the days of one of the judges, there was a judge, and he worked a great work for God. And then he called Ephraim later, and Ephraim was ticked off that they weren't called right away. They were proud, and so Hezekiah, he reaches out to these two main tribes, trying to draw them into a relationship with the Lord, that they should come to the house of the Lord and to keep the Passover. And as you read the rest of chapter 30, you can do that on your own, it goes to extensive lengths. And here's the thing, you're supposed to celebrate the Passover in the first month of the year. The priests were not ready. They did not have enough priests consecrated, so they couldn't celebrate the Passover adequately. So he says, we're going to do it in the second month. Maybe we can have enough. And they begin, and they did it in the second month. And it says that there had not been a celebration like this since the days of Solomon. That is how righteous and how passionate Hezekiah was for the Lord. And after he gets the Passover celebrated, in verse 14... By the way, as they're getting ready for this, he tears down in verse 14 all the altars that were in Jerusalem because he doesn't want anyone, as they come for the Passover, to worship these false gods. And after Passover in chapter 31, it says, when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah. They broke down the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, threw down the high place and the altars from all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them. Hezekiah was the Billy Graham of his day. He led the nation, and not just his nation, but the northern kingdom, into a revival. These two nations that had been steeped in idolatry removed the idols that had been set up, and people are now turning their hearts towards God. And as I look at King Hezekiah, it tells us this in verses 5 and 6 of 2 Kings 18. You go to 2 Kings, it says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord his God, so that after him, get this, was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. That sends goosebumps up and down my spine, because you think of David. You think of Solomon, great kings, godly kings, and there were other kings smattered throughout there, but it says there was nobody like Hezekiah before him or after him. He was a great king. Why? Verse 6, he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. Now, we've looked at these two men. Remember who Hezekiah's dad was? Who was his dad? Ahaz. How godly was he? Not very. He was about like the bottom of the barrel, right? And yet now Hezekiah, he's like no king before him or after him. He's at the mountaintop. If you are an apple and you don't fall far from a tree, how does Hezekiah turn out the way he did when he had a father like Ahaz? The only thing that I can think of is because of his mom, Queen Abby. And here's the interesting thing. What do we know about Queen Abby? You know what we know? Those two verses I read at the beginning. that she was the daughter of Zechariah, Hezekiah's mother. She was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. That's all we know. That's all we know about her. Now, her father, Zechariah, we know a little bit about him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 5, Zechariah influenced Ahaz's grandfather. It says, he, Uzziah, sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Zechariah was a godly man. He was in touch with the Holy Spirit. He understood visions. And I believe that this godly man, that he discipled and he mentored his daughter, he raised her up. Maybe she had understanding and visions, but she was discipled by him. That's what we know about her. And here's the thing. I believe that Queen Abby, in the midst of this, and here's the thing, you think about this. If Zechariah is a man of God and Queen Abby is a woman of God, how does she marry Ahaz? You kind of think, man, that's not good. But remember, back in Bible times, when a king wanted something, a king received what he wanted. He maybe saw this godly young girl, this beautiful girl, and I want her as my wife. You read about it in Queen Esther, when King Ahasuerus, or King Xerxes, his wife Vashti kind of rebelled and disobeyed him, and so he put her out of the kingdom. She was no longer queen, and he needs a new queen, and they says, let's send for the virgins, beautiful virgins, all over the kingdom. And they brought who knows how many, hundreds, thousands of beautiful young girls to basically audition to become the queen. A king received what a king wanted. So we don't know why Abby married him. It probably wasn't willingly because she was godly. But what took place is that she had the ability to influence her son Hezekiah. And I believe that she did that. And that's why I call her probably the greatest unsung hero in the Bible, one of the mothers, because she helped a nation turn around about face from going headlong into idol worship. A nation that was killing their sons and daughters, offering them as sacrifices to God. And yet we know very little about her. I want to share with you three insights from Queen Abby's life. Insights from an unsung hero. Number one this morning, don't allow any person or circumstance to pollute or dilute your walk with God. Don't allow any person or any circumstance to pollute or to dilute your walk with God. Queen Abby, she could have followed her husband's train of thought, his religion. She could have followed his ways and adopted his idol worship, but she didn't do it. She stayed true to God, and then she influenced her son Hezekiah to go after God with all of his heart. And the thing is, in this relationship she had, this spiritually mismatched relationship, she could have said, you know what? Okay, I'm not going to go after the false gods, but I'm just going to dial it down a little bit. I'm just going to go. And there, friends, there's a lot of people I know that when they encounter difficult circumstances, difficult relationships, things aren't going the way they would like, you know what they do? They just spiritually exist. They're not passionate for God. They don't go after God. They're not all in. But it's just like, I'll just do enough to get by because you know what? God, this is not the road I chose. God, I do not want a man like this. This heathen guy who's killing my children, offering them as sacrifices. She could have easily become bitter. She could have easily just says, God, you're not really doing what I thought you should do. But you know what? She knew what the theme was for Radius. What's our theme for 2025? The faithfulness of God. And Queen Abby held on to the faithfulness of God, and she was faithful to God. She did not allow any person, her husband or anyone else, And maybe there might have been people saying, hey, why are you going after God? Why are you doing this? She didn't allow anyone. She didn't allow bitterness. She didn't allow her situation, as tough as it may have been, to pollute or to dilute her walk with the Lord. I don't know what you're facing today. Hopefully, none of you are in as bad a marriage as Queen Abby was with a King Ahaz. Or a Queen Ahaz. I guess that could be the situation. I hope you're not facing that. But maybe you are. Maybe you're in a difficult situation financially. There's something going on at work that's causing you strife. It's just, you can't get it off your mind. You go to bed at night and you can't sleep. Maybe there's a health issue you're dealing with. Friends, I don't know what you're struggling with today. Don't let anyone or anything pollute or dilute your faith. Passionately pursue God, be all in. Because when you look at Queen Abby, her life influenced her son, who influenced an entire nation. There are people who are watching you. How you respond to situations, how you respond to circumstances, how you respond to hardship and adversity. And your life carries a great message. Don't let anything pollute or dilute your walk with the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to Him. Passionately pursue a relationship with Jesus. That's the first insight that we see from our unsung hero, Queen Abby. The second insight I'd like to share this morning is that nobody may ever know what you did, but God keeps record and He rewards in heaven. Nobody may ever know what you did, but God knows. He keeps records, and we receive our reward in heaven. That's where our true rewards are. You may feel like what you're doing has little or no fanfare, no recognition. It's insignificant. You're just being faithful in the grind, day in, day out, day in, day out, and you're tired. And you're saying, is it worth it? I have an answer for you. Yes, it is. Be faithful. Be godly in the grind. Go after the Lord in the grind. Some of you are moms, and you're stuck changing dirty diapers and nursing and dealing with squalling toddlers and, Mom! She hit me. Mom, he pulled my hair. He called me a name. Mom. Oh, you know, I'm glad we're empty nesters now. It's fun to go visit the grandkids and stay a week or so and then go. And, you know, it's nice. Let's spoil the grandkids and then let our kids take care of them. Yeah. No, seriously. Mom, some of you may be discouraged. You're tired of chauffeuring around, doing homework, doing a lot of things, and you feel there's no recognition. Nobody cares. I want you to know, God cares. He sees. And like Queen Abby, the Lord is your Father. And as a good, kind, loving Father, He sees. He cares about you. Do you realize that the Bible says that every one of our tears that we've cried, they're bottled up and they're stored up in heaven? Now, I don't know about you, but you save things that are important, right? Now, some of you might be hoarders and you save everything, okay? We're not talking about that. You watch those hoarder shows and they've got junk and trash. It's just disgusting. We're not talking about that, okay? But you save things that are important, that are valuable. And God says, your sorrows are so important to me. They touch my heart so much that I take every tear and I store it away up in heaven. That's how much God cares about you this morning. That's how much He cares. So don't think that what you do is unseen. Don't think that your tears are unseen. They fall down onto your shirt or your blouse or onto your pillow at night or onto the place where you're praying. Friends, God has collected every one of those when you've forgotten all about them. Just as He knows where every sparrow is, He knows the number of the hairs on your head. God is keeping track of the minutest detail, even every single pain, every single tear you've cried. That's how much God cares about you. He recognizes you. He knows where you're at. And if you're faithful to him, someday you will receive a reward. Let's take a look at the last and final insight we receive from Queen Abby, our unsung hero. And it says, the Lord is your father. You're not going it alone. You might feel like you're going it alone, but you're not. God is with you. Single moms, maybe you don't have a godly husband to help you train your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There may be some of you, you're just working extra long hours or maybe 2-3 jobs just to try to make ends meet. I want you to know God is your father. You're not alone. In fact, he will be a father to the fatherless. That's what the word says. God is a father to the fatherless. Hezekiah changed the course of history for an entire nation because his mother would not allow herself to be polluted or deluded. She says, the Lord is my father, and she kept faithful, and as a result, it changed not only her son's trajectory, but the trajectory of an entire nation. Some of you single moms might think, man, my kids don't have a chance. My kids, they don't have an opportunity to really maybe do anything for God. Look at King Hezekiah. What he did. He didn't have a godly father. Some of you are in mismatched relationships, spiritually unequal relationships, like Queen Abby was. And Queen Abby, wow, it's powerful what happened. Ladies, if you find yourself with a husband who's not a Christian, maybe he is saved, but he's not the spiritual leader of the home. Maybe you're in a marriage that's really bad. You're married to a King Ahaz. I want you to take heart, because with God, all things are possible. You can influence your kids. Your kids don't have to go down the road that their example of their father is setting. You can change their course. That's how great a God we serve, because God's not only your father, God is your kid's father. This morning, I want to encourage you, each of us, no matter where we find ourselves, number one, do not pollute or dilute your walk with God. And secondly, influence your kids and everyone around you. Influence your radius. Help all people find and follow Jesus. And you know where you need to start? Start with yourself. Jesus, I'm going to follow you with all my heart, all my soul, all my might, all my strength, no matter what happens, no matter what person or what circumstance I encounter. I'm going to go after God with everything, and then I'm going to influence my kids to find and follow Jesus. And if you find your spouse is not where they need to be praying for them, because God can save even the worst sinner, the person who is totally wants nothing to do with God. That's the great God we serve. This morning, how's your walk with God? Are you all in? Are you passionately after him? Nothing's polluted you. Nothing's deluded you. And you're saying, God, I'm trying to influence everyone I can, including my kids. Some of you are, do you feel like, man, your kids are not where they need to be? The Bible says if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your house will be saved. I stand on that promise for all of my kids, for all of my grandkids. God says he visits righteousness to the third and fourth generations. I believe that you can change the course of your family if it's not where you want it right now. I believe you and I can change the course of a nation as we influence our children. Let's pray today. Father God, I thank you that the Lord is our Father. Thank you for being ever present, ever loving, and ever helping us. The Lord is our helper. I pray right now, Lord God, that you will encourage and give hope and help to every person who is here this morning. Some of you may find yourself in a very difficult situation today, and I'm not just talking to moms. I'm talking to everyone, to singles, marrieds, men, women, students, wherever you find yourself, here in the room, those who are watching online. And maybe you find yourself in a very difficult situation, and I encourage you, I challenge you, don't let anything to pollute or dilute your faith. If you're experiencing difficulty and you're saying, I need God's help in my situation, whatever it might be, whatever the tough time is, maybe it's a person, a relationship, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your health, maybe it's your finances, maybe you're just dealing with something on a personal level that no one knows about. But if you're saying, I'm going through a rough time, I'm dedicating myself to God, I need His strength, I need His grace, His peace, His presence, His power, would you just put your hand up this morning? Because I want to pray for you. Just put your hand up if you have any need in your life. You're saying, God, I need your help. Lord, you see these hands that are raised. Just keep them up right now. God, you know, God, the frustration. You know the anxiety. God, you know the fear. You know the tears. You know the screams, the yells. Why, God? Lord, you know the doubts. You know the hesitations. God, you know the pain. And I pray right now, God, for every situation in this room, you know what they are. I pray for physical healing, for sickness and injuries, for those that are calling out saying, God, help me in my physical need. Lord, for those with financial issues today, God, that you would give them wisdom. You would show them how to get out of that bind. Lord, that you would provide supernaturally. And Lord Jesus, that you will just be the one who supplies all of their needs according to your riches and glory. I pray for marriages today, God, that are struggling, that are on the rocks. I pray for spouses who've been unfaithful or are thinking of being unfaithful. Lord, I pray for spouses that are arguing and fighting, spouses that have drifted apart. I pray for marriages that are not equally yoked, where one's following you and one is not. Lord, that you would draw them back together. I pray you'd make marriages one this morning, Father God. Lord, I pray for children that have wandered away, children that have rebelled. God, that you would save them. You would speak to their hearts and their souls. You'd bring them back to you. God, I pray for those who are grieving this morning. God, those who've lost a loved one, those who have lost a dream, a promise, something they were looking, expecting you to come through on, and God, they've just fallen flat on their face. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them. You would give them peace. You would give them hope. You would give them faith. Lord God, you see every single need. I thank you, Lord God, that nothing is too difficult for you. And Lord, I give you thanks and praise. I want you to lift your hands and begin to praise God for His faithfulness and declare that you will be faithful. Lord, we're going to be faithful to you. We're not going to dilute our faith and just coast, but we're going to passionately run after you, Father God. We're not going to pollute our faith. God, forgive us if we have compromised. Forgive us if there's things that we need to confess and to get right with you. Lord, forgive us. Lord, we want to be people that run after righteousness. God, that pursue holiness with our lives. Oh, Jesus, lead us in your ways. There's some of you here this morning, and you're not followers of Jesus. And you know that because the Holy Spirit has been convicting you. Maybe you have been living a life that has rejected God like Ahaz. Maybe it's not worshiping idols, but you know that you've turned your back on God. You're walking away from Him and you need to repent and get right. There may be some of you that you'd say, you know, I'm not as bad as King Ahaz. But still deep inside, God is convicting you and you know that you're a sinner. And you know that you need to turn from your sin and begin to follow Jesus with your life. If that's you this morning, I would like you just to raise your hand. The Bible says none of us are righteous, not one. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. All of us need to accept Christ. God loves us so much that Jesus came, He lived a perfect life, and He died on the cross for us. So if you're here this morning, you'd say, I need to turn from my sin and turn and follow God. Would you just lift your hand? Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? You'd say, I want to be right with God. I want to have a relationship with God. I want Him to be my Father. Anyone else here in the house? You put your hand up, you can put it back down. For those who are watching online, if you know the Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin and He's drawing you, that He wants a relationship with you, wherever you're at, just raise your hand this morning. Say, God, here I am. I want you to take my sin, take me. I want to follow you. Just put your hand up. Is there anyone else here in the room this morning? You'd say, I want to begin to follow Jesus. I need a relationship with Him. Would you just put your hand up this morning, then you can put it back down. I'm going to say this prayer. Thank you. I see that hand there in the middle. I'm going to say this prayer, and I would like everyone to repeat this prayer, all right? No one praying alone. Lord Jesus, I have sinned. I know You died for me, and I can't save myself. I surrender everything. I confess You as Lord, as the leader of my life. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. Wash me from all sin. Thank You, God, for loving me and dying for me. Help me to live for You. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.